Hello and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Rav Michael Lightman. Hello everyone. Hello. Hello Nitza Mazoz. Hello. Today we'd like to talk with Rav Lightman about the law of the law, the national law, the Jewish national law that would like to find true new angles to this law that will take practical life to a better place, the nationality law. Okay, so we're speaking about the nationality law, and maybe I'll read a few sentences from what does it mean. So the first point speaks about the land of the state of Israel, which is the national home of the Jewish nation, which they realized their aspiration for self-definition according to their cultural and historical context. It's true. It's true. Only we have to understand what is what does it mean, cultural and historical heritage. Yes, where were they, how did they exist, and what do we have to do today in order to reach that? Meaning I have to first of all know the original ancient culture of the people of Israel, both their history, where did they come from, the basis on which Abraham established us on. Also Abraham the patriarch is called Avram, the father of the nation, in translation. I'm all for it, for everyone to learn this. This point is I'm all for it. Only that if we truly investigate what it means, what this paragraph means, I don't think that someone who reads it imagines that he has to return to Abraham in order to really understand what it says there. I also don't think that it even aims in the simple form of matter that all Jews will be religious, like you can imagine that, like it was during the times of the Temple, with all of the laws that existed back then, of the maaser, the paying the tenth, and the sacrifice, and the holidays, and the three times a year that you come to Jerusalem. This is completely unclear to everyone. So really we wanted to talk about it a bit, because when you look at it, what does it mean returning to our heritage? What does it mean? Because this immediately demands maybe building the temple. So the nation was all connected around an inner spiritual ideology and also corporeal ideology, and everyone was there were sages back then and prophets and the period of kings and the Sanhedrin. And the life was very... I'd be interested to hear what does he mean by it. But at least to really open up. Start with Abraham as the father of the nation, and the foundations that he has established for the nation were according to these foundations, according to the development of these foundations. What does it mean? The period of Yitzchak, Yaakov, then Yosef, Moshe, and so on. David, Shlomo, and more and more. What is the power of the nation? Based on what did it exist? Because its entire existence is a spiritual existence. It's in spirit. Like we see this from the Maccabim, from the period after it, in the Babylonian exile, in the days of Mordechai and Esther. These are things that you have to bring to the people as something that you study, as the basis, as the foundation that each and every one has to know. Because back then we were the people of Israel. Back then we were the people of Israel in better periods or worse, but the people of Israel. What does it mean to be the people of Israel? This is what we have to learn. However, when the temple was destroyed 2,000 years ago and we went into exile, there is no land of Israel in exile. There is none. We can't keep the same conditions called the nation of Israel, because nation, it's that first of all that we can live according to our laws. There is no nation of Israel without the land of Israel. There's no such thing as a Jew unless he meets the condition of being Jewish. Because we see that all nations were born as a result of living in one place and keeping the conditions between them and got married, and this is how they exist. We're not this way. We have gathered not according to the place, but according to the idea, according to the goal, to live in a unique way that Abraham has gathered all of his students, thousands, as Rambam said, that so we'll live according to the law of, as one man and one heart, and love another as thyself, according to the law of Chesed. Avraham is Chesed. So, in reciprocal love. And this is the general force of the people of Israel, that I love everyone that belong to my nation, at least. That's called that I am getting a force of bestowal from someplace, the force of love. That I first of all have to acquire this force. Where do we get it from? Because we're all egoists. The moment someone honks their horn on me on the street, I don't love him anymore. I'm ready to destroy him. We're talking about the correction of a person here, that he wants to be Jewish. From the word Yehudi, from the word Yichud, unity, unification. It's possible, but first of all, let's raise people, educate them to this level. It doesn't mean that simply if it says in my ID card that I am a citizen of the Israeli state and I am Jewish. It doesn't work with this nation. A Jew has to, if already, to get such an ID card, being Jewish, meaning if you give it to someone, then it has to be given only to those who are ready to unite according to the law of reciprocal love. Meaning that here, we have very serious work to be done in our dissemination, in our studying, in our preparation of these people that want, and if someone doesn't want, then he's free. But whoever wants, from the whole world, not even those who are Jewish according to their ID card, but according to their passport or according to some other passport. Each and every person in the world who wants to be connected with everyone and in a connection of love, he can come into the connection between us, join it like anyone else, and he will be called Jewish. And then, all of these people that are tied together in these ties of love, connection, mutual guarantee, or root, they are called the people of Israel, and they have to know that because they connect this way, they become adapted to the general force of nature, the force of love and bestowal, and therefore they are called Israel, Yashar Kel. What is Yashar Kel? Yashar Kel, it means that they are aimed directly at the upper force, the force of bestowal and love, which is hidden inside the nature, which we, in the meantime, feel egoistically. And the moment that we reach a connection between us based on the laws of bestowal and love, then this force starts revealing, and that's called the revelation of the Creator to His creatures. I don't understand again. What is that, Yashar Kel? The people of Israel, are called Israel or Yeshar Kel, because in our connection, in the connection between us, we are aimed at reaching the revelation of the higher, upper, general force of nature, which is the force of bestowal and love. We want for this force to dwell among us. We make all possible efforts in order to live according to this law of bestowal and love between us. And to the extent to which we start working on ourselves accordingly, connecting, exerting ourselves, we start discovering this force, the way it dwells in the whole of reality and the way it is revealed in the connection between us. The Creator is revealed among the creatures. He ties all the creatures into one fraternity. This is the role of the people of Israel, and then we turn to all the nations of the world and we invite them to join us. And everything that they thought about the people of Israel, that the nation of Israel locks something inside themselves, they hide something inside them, they don't want to reveal some things to the world, they have a certain secret that they don't want to tell everyone, all the other nations. Yes, now we ourselves understand what was the secret inside us. In what way was it hidden that we ourselves did not know about it? And that we have to bring it out to all of humanity, that really, therefore, we are called a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That is why our goal is to be light for all nations. So what is that secret, as Soren? That by the force of reciprocal love and bestowal, we discover the upper force, the Creator, which is called good, that does good. And by this we raise ourselves to this unlimited level of good that does good, which is called the life of the next world. And all of this situation, we discover it while we're here, alive, here in this world, as it says, you will see your world in your lifetime. This legality that you're talking about, the law of love in the people of Israel, does it have some kind of an influence on the order, say, the order that has to work, that the country has to work accordingly, maybe later on the world? I feel that you're talking here about a love, a law that's love, but not love like we're used to hear about it, like, I love you. But I feel that there's something deeper here that I really want to understand. How does this law of love, let's put it this way, what principles? I'll tell you. I'll give you an example. Just like now, we, between us, are arranged according to the laws of ego and competition. What do you mean? Yeah, every person, according to the laws that the regime decides on, can behave according to how he is, according to his nature. And because our nature is an egoistic nature, we can use our ego in order to exploit others, in order to benefit off them, in order to... I'm all the time using my ego, but because my ego wants to destroy everyone and do good only for myself, therefore, come laws and police and the army and this and that and people, and they limit us. They say, if you want to be a citizen, you have to keep these laws. You have to limit your nature, because your nature is destroying everything besides what belongs to you. Now, if we are making a change and we shift to live according to the laws of bestowal and love, then too, how do we live accordingly? We also have limitations. We also have laws. we also have as if police and army and as if our environment, but I learn that the general law of bestowal and understand how I realize it. Meaning that we have an equal standard of living, because in life it can't be that someone has more, someone has less. Equality, concern and care for everyone and anyone wherever they are. Accordingly, we have to determine. We have to decide on all the that we manufacture only what we need and not more than that. And industry and work, we have to sort all of the different kinds of work in order to be only in what we're really doing in favor of society and environment. We have to educate the younger generation that are growing up, for them to grow up according to the laws of bestowal and love and reciprocity and so on. We have to all the time, because our ego is all the time growing and increasing. We don't run from it. We can't run from it. We, atop this ego, this increased ego, we have to all the time correct our attitude of good that does good, each one toward the others, meaning that it has to be a system which is an educational, practical, theoretical system, that we will hug the entire world and teach everyone how to participate together according to the law of the general law of love and a happy, good life in this world. It's a serious work, especially educational work. And the explanation, how will we explain to each and everyone how necessary it is that we have no choice, that this is how the world's arranged, that I can't not keep the law of love, because the whole of nature, still vegetative and animate, exists this way. So we also have to be connected to the whole of nature. We, that by separating ourselves from nature, we endanger our future altogether, according to what's going on now in ecology and so on. Meaning, to reach the existence by the second law, meaning instead of the law of reception, the law of bestowal, instead of the egoistic law, the altruistic law, here there has to be vast preparation for it. Okay, so if I understand correctly, the law that rules the world today, all regimes, everything, is the egoistic form. Yeah, obviously. Their goal is to limit the ego, not to go berserk. Yeah, we see all the summits, the UN, all they decide on, and the agreements that they sign. It's all in order to make some kind of a limitation on an ego of a person or a country or a group of countries against another group of countries. It's politics. How can I make an agreement with you as much as I can for my benefit, and because you have no other choice in the time being, for the time being. In the meantime, you're signing it because you have no other choice. But it's all a lie, and that's how you live. There are certain agreements and certain limitations that everyone takes upon them, because otherwise there will be war, so it's not worthwhile doing, meaning it's all according to the law of simple ego. Okay, so every moment that we, as the people of Israel, live today in our country, as long as we live and exist according to these laws, under these laws, we're not called a nation then. No, because we behave according to a worldly order, which is egoistic. There is no nation of Israel in non-egoistic respect, if they're egoistic inside themselves. And there's no state of Israel that can exist according to egoistic laws. And therefore, and there are no Jews. There are no Jews. Because Jew, it is he who aspires to exist according to the law of love. So maybe there are a few such in the world. They're called Jews, and all the rest, they aren't. Meaning we returned to be Babylon, and even here we don't succeed. So I'd like to read the second paragraph that says about Israeli nation given us as a place to realize our definition as Jews. This is now? Yeah, that's the new offer. Very good. The privilege to realize our realization is there is a place for social discussion, a place for everyone to express what he thinks, let's call it democracy. And also we ourselves that speak from the point of view of the wisdom of Kabbalah, which is actually the wisdom which Abraham taught the rest of his students, then we deserve saying from the very, very, very basis of the nation, what is the definition for being Jewish and the people of Israel and the state of Israel and how we think that we should reach the right realization of all of these definitions. Okay, we got a certain opportunity to realize ourselves as a nation. Where did we get it from? From history, from the higher force. Also in the Declaration of Independence, it says that we have the right to realize. Yeah, but what is the realization itself? Now, it's not too late. We have to realize it as quickly as possible, and then we'll really reach a state that will have the state of Israel, the land of Israel, the people of Israel, and then to the extent to which we will start realizing this, we will publicize to the rest of the world what we're going to do, and no one is going to be against it, to resist it, because we're saying that we're building an altruistic society that is all about love, that will be happy to accept anyone from all over the world into this society. Please, let's all live according to these laws. We are ready to educate you. We are ready to teach you how. How to keep this, how to keep this law in the family, on all levels of life, between the countries, all over Earth. How to keep the true law which is adapted, that matches the upper law, the upper force, and who keeps it, he merits connection with the upper force, starting to see his life as unlimited. For him, the whole world is then worthwhile. According to your definition, we did not yet realize our right here as the Jewish nation. Of course not. That we came to this land and we built this country and we see the Israeli society the way it is today, actually we did not reach realization yet. No. It is good for us to study the Nation newspaper, what Baal HaSulam wrote, and back in those times that it was toward the Declaration of Independence. Yeah, it preceded. He wrote the Nation newspaper that preceded the Declaration of Independence. Yes. Maybe last question. Yes, my last question is where I were to tell you, look, in two sentences, maybe we'll have further discussions about it, but in two sentences, if you have the possibility of bringing inner content into a fundamental definition of the law of nationality, how would you define it? Again, if you could give your own definition, We have it in our Torah. Yeah, but each one interprets the Torah the way he interprets it. I don't know how to get into it, Jewish or religious or not. But were I to ask you, Rav Lightman, how would you define the nationality law in the precise way according to the perception that you taught us here that could really bring Israel to its best possible state, place? We have to start with the education of the people. It's impossible without that. This is what Abraham did. He started connecting them in tens and hundreds and thousands, like later on Moses kept on doing in the desert, and showing them on the spot, practically, in practice. What does it mean, connecting between us? And how do we have to keep it? And how inside the connection between us we can discover the upper force that dwells among us instead of the force of hatred that distances us, for the force of love to be felt among us, which is the upper force. Very simply, practically, what is clear to everyone, that is clear to each and every person, because he sees it on the spot. Children see it, everyone sees it, that if we participate on such workshops and we immediately start feeling that if we manage our workshops, that there's a kind of a touch, connection with the upper law, and we have these workshops, then we see how people start feeling without any preparation, without connection between them. Suddenly they start feeling that there is a kind of a force about it. We're talking about an atmosphere, a warmth. This is what we need. And in the form of, I don't know, morning, afternoon, evening, several times a day, we have to all the time, bring the people into these boundaries so that this higher force will work on them. Not that we do it. The education here, it's not education like in school or in any other places or in kindergartens or at home. Education here, the education of the people of Israel, is the education in which you draw the higher force, the reforming light, and it changes a person. And then a person, he sort of educates himself. That's the big difference. And this is what we have to teach and organize for the people of Israel and then the whole world. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Our time is up. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best. New life.